Earlier today, the U.S. Embassy in Kyiv shut down over a potential air attack threat. Joseph Lindsley is in Kyiv. Let's get more from him right now. The American delegation says they received a warning of a potentially significant Russian air attack on the Ukrainian capital. Joseph, what is going on there right now?
Hey, Bob. Well, we just had an all-clear alarm a few minutes ago. So during the air raid alarm, nothing actually happened. And, there is a sense, when you get a message like that from the U.S. Embassy, it creates a sense that we're all supposed to die today. I mean, what else are people supposed to think? And yet, probably one of the few places in Kyiv that's not open today is the American Embassy. A smattering of other embassies followed the American actions. The British Embassy is still open, by the way. Keep calm, carry on. And everything else is open, and everything's quite normal here today. And, it's very rare to see such a message from the U.S. Embassy. I wonder, and my question I would be if I was in the White House press corps, is, when they make such announcements, do they consider the optics? Do they consider, will that create panic? What are they trying to achieve with that? It would be a worthwhile question. If you remember back in... it was late January 2022, so before the full-scale Russian invasion, the Americans were the first to flee Kyiv, almost a month before Russia's full-scale invasion of Ukraine. They fled. We held on in Saigon longer than they did in Kyiv. Those images of the helicopters leaving the embassies, the embassy in Saigon, we were there in a much more extreme circumstance. And I wonder if, when there's announcements like that from the embassy, it almost seems like a green light for Russia to do something. And it creates this structure. This is all, if you look at pretty much every article about this and all the tweets about it, it's structured as, clearly Russia is going to retaliate because the Biden administration gave Ukraine permission to strike back. And so that's sort of the way the narrative is structured. And we've seen this before. We saw, every time, back in the summer of 2022, Jake Sullivan, President Biden's national security advisor, said that Ukraine could not receive ATACMS, these very precise American weapons, because that would cause World War III. Well, by 2023, the White House sort of grudgingly had agreed to give Ukraine ATACMS, and that was more than a year ago. And, when Ukraine hit the headquarters of the Russian Black Sea Fleet in Sevastopol, Crimea, they used the very precise British Storm Shadow missiles. That was a pretty big blow on Russia. And instead of Russia had a lot of bluster in response, but they didn't actually, there was no major attack on Ukraine following that. Instead, Russia had to devote its resources to moving its Navy to a safer place, to the a port on the Russian mainland. Similarly, last May, when we have to remember, Biden did give Ukraine permission to hit targets on Russian soil before, and it was last May. And the result of that was that Kharkiv City became safer. Russia had a lot of bluster. They said the nuclear war very often, but we didn't see any major retaliation. So somehow we're still stuck in this narrative cycle that anytime Ukraine is given some good tools, that we should all be very afraid and scared. And what I also am observing that within the world of Trump, this is actually it's causing a lot of harm for Ukraine. Just a few days ago, President Zelensky said that he thinks that with Trump's help, Russia can be stopped next year. And you could start to see like maybe some openings of opportunities. Trump picked as his national security advisor Mike Waltz, a guy who's been very critical of Biden for not doing enough for Ukraine. But suddenly, the way this news sort of rolled out about this new permission, sort of falsely portrayed as being like super long range missiles into Russia. Now the momentum in Mar-a-Lago is that, oh, look, Biden is out of control, creating World War III, and we need to do everything to stop this. And so it's really shifted and messed around with the narrative, and I think with some progress Ukrainians were making in the world of Trump. So I think a lot of the, as I speak, the line could be cut and we could have, there could be a nuclear bomb here in Kyiv. Okay, anything could happen, but I don't see people here panicking whatsoever, and people have already been through so much. And so it's curious. It's a curious situation, curious optics. And we should note that this morning or in the middle of the night, Ukrainians did use this new permission from the White House, the first confirmation that it was used. They use the ATACMS, those precise short to medium range missiles to hit Russian military depots in the region called Bryansk. And some people are saying, oh, see, this is it's deep into Russia. Well, Bryansk is it borders the Kursk region. So it's, you know, it's not so far from where Ukrainians are on the ground in Russia. And it's basically it's almost the same region. It's like a difference between Milwaukee and Chicago. And so it's not really that sort of it's definitely not a long range deep strike. It's very targeted and very precise. And so I think we see a lot of you know, sky is falling rhetoric, but here, you know, in Kyiv, I can say everything's calm and feels pretty normal.
So interesting to hear the view from Ukraine. And Joe, you're always very good about filling us in on stories the media misses. And I came across something yesterday. I can't believe I didn't hear more about this. Israeli troops are finding large troves of Russian weapons as Israel advances its invasion of southern Lebanon. And this confirms some longstanding suspicions in Israel that Hezbollah is enhancing its fighting capacity with the help of sophisticated Russian arms. To me, that's a big story.
Yeah, you know, it's a big story. And I think one reason why it gets ignored in America, because in sort of the American political divisions, you know, the people who tend to support Israel for some reason oppose Ukraine and vice versa. And, you know, that's not the reality among Ukrainians. They support Israel and they realize that Hamas and Russia are allies. And, you know, another thing that I think Americans, including defense people in the defense industry and the Pentagon are missing, you know, Ukrainians are and Russians both are developing technology very rapidly with drones. And guess what? The Chinese and the North Koreans and Iranians and Hamas, they're paying attention. But Americans are not watching and not learning from the Ukrainians while those who oppose America are actually learning a lot because they're present, you know, near the front lines here.
Joseph Lindsley in Kyiv. Joe, keep calm and carry on, I guess.
I'm not fleeing Kyiv, so I hope we'll talk to tomorrow from Kyiv.
We will, for sure. Thank you very much.
Thanks.